And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 92 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And while you're over on iTunes, make sure you leave us a review as we pick a winner each week to give an autographed book set to.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. This week, we got another awesome guest, but first we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nesloni, Elementary School Principal in Navasota, Texas, and I am thrilled to have our guest on this week, Derek McCoy. Derek, thanks for being here this week.
I can't thank you guys enough for having me here. I'm fans of Adam and Todd, and I'm looking forward to this chat. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Well, we also want to remind our viewers that they can participate in this chat via social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, whether you are watching live or sharing some of your learning later.
So, Derek, we got a few questions for you, man. So for those that don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
Okay, cool. I'm a career-long middle school educator. It starts in the middle. I started teaching middle school math. Now I'm a middle school principal. And having fun, challenging myself, helping staff move along so that we can create a great learning environment for our students. I've been a National Digital Principal of the Year for NASSP, and since then been presenting and sharing and I've been growing and been very beneficial. I've been benefiting from sharing what we're doing at our school with in other schools as well.
Nice. Well, you know, Derek, you and I have been connected for a while, and I got to tell you, I have learned so much from you online and the things that you share. And I'm glad that you mentioned that digital principal work, because that's a big deal. So I'm glad you're talking about it. But thinking about administration, when did you know that you wanted to step out of the classroom and take that leap?
I hate that question, and I love that question. I remember the principal, Dr. Sandra DeShazer, was the principal that I served under, and I knew that I wanted to become a leader under her. But I don't remember what year it was. I just remember I just remember working under her and seeing a consistent, prominent, shining example of, wow, this leader has come into this school and she is just challenging us. She's turning over some concepts, some preconceptions that we have. She's pushing us. And I love that. I love the principal that hired me. Nothing but great things to say about him. But seeing that difference and seeing that vibrancy, seeing that real leadership and that urgency for us to get to kids and make a difference. It was definitely under her. And you know, it was odd. So this is my 22nd year in education. She is one of my good family friends right now. I still call and text her on the regular. We met at another time, but just saw her at a conference. We just happened to be at a conference 2 years ago. Just, she was like, she's on Twitter. Derek, are you here? Like, Doc, are you on Twitter? And she knows my wife and family. Just seeing a lot of elements of her leadership have really made me model what I do today from that.
Nice. I love that. So, Derek, man, what do you feel is the most important and urgent issue right now in education? There's a lot, man, but what do you think is the most urgent and important?
There's a lot. And you know how people say, what's that one thing? That there is no one thing. And there are 10 things and they're all tied for number one. The one that I'll talk about tonight is us and our urgency to help others shift from teacher-centered practices to student-centered practices. Mm-hmm. It's significant. It's hard. We see the best learning when we go student-centered. We see the most growth in us as people when we give up some of those teacher-centered practices. And we see the best things come out in student-centered learning environments. So that's an urgent thing. And it's kind of centered around the project that my friend Joe and I are working on right now.
Well, you know, you set me up perfectly for the next question.
So you did.
You have a book coming out here soon. So can you tell our viewers and listeners maybe a little bit about that endeavor?
Excellent. I sure will. It is a labor of love. So been working on this with my friend Joe Mazza, and it's called Lead Learners. And the first part of the book, we dispel the notion of there's one lead learner in the building. So, you know, you guys have been principals for a minute. You know how there's a common thought that the principal is the lead learner in the building. There can't be one lead learner in the building. There just can't be. There's not one change agent. You know, if we're doing it right, then we're sitting around a round table. So instead of sitting at the head of a table. So lead learners is about dispelling that notion. What do we do as lead learners? What are some of the traits? And what do we do to create a learning center where we value and showcase and really dive into empathy, where we dive into innovation, and we're building a culture that is student-centered. So we highlight a lot of it champions out there. We talk a lot about what's going on and what's going on in classrooms and schools where they're making those shifts and making those changes, and that's a lot. So that's where Joe and I are working on right now.
Nice. I love it. So Derek, going back to like when you were a kid, what was school like growing up for you?
Yeah, okay. All righty. So I'm 48 years old, and I grew up in mid South Georgia. There was a K-7 school, and there were two classes on every grade level. There was an A class and a B class. It was textbook tracking. It was textbook, you know, just segregated learning, high expectations here, low expectations there. And desks, and of course, desks and rows. I remember, you know, we got colored chalk, and the teacher brought colored chalk one day in the third or fourth grade class, and we were freaking out, you know. rural back in the day. Desk and rows, teacher-centered. Do this. You have an A, so you're smart. You read slow, so you're not smart. There's a lot that goes into there. There's a lot of layers of that. My mom was a TA at my school, and I was one of the lucky African Americans because my mom was there. She advocated for me, and she knew that her son was smart, but her son didn't fit a build. So she had to have those talks with teachers, and a lot of parents, you know, this is back in the day when parents say, "I just trust the teacher, so whatever they say goes," and that's not quite the case. That's also a lead learner tie-in as well, because we talk about bringing in parents. Are we making parents? Are we showcasing parents as lead learners as well? So a lot of my talks, a lot of my practices, a lot of my fears, and it's straight up fears. A lot of my fears right now are around how many practices are we protecting that look like that 30 years ago, you know? How many practices were we doing 5 years ago still look like the ones from 30 years ago?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Derek, another thing that we often talk about and that I love having conversations with other educators about is something that they are reading now, whether it's personal or professional. What is something you're reading now that you might recommend to someone else?
I'm reading the book Start With The Why. Start With Why.
Awesome.
I've been doing... The leadership team at our school, we did three books this summer. And, you know, they were great books. Leadership Isn't for Cowards, reread Michael Fullan and something else. But Starting With The Why, it's bringing me back to mission and why we're doing what we're doing. It's helping me, and it's hard work. You know, what we were saying earlier, there are always 10 important things that you can work on. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I've narrowed it down to one by any means, but But I am keeping why in front of, I can at least keep why in front of the people that I work with, so that we know what are we here to do? What are we centering our practices on?
Right.
And that is the shift to a student-centered learning environment.
100%. So, man, we're curious, who is somebody that inspires or challenges you to be better? Other than Joe Mazza, who is that person?
No. So I will tell you, my kids inspired me, and they set me on an inspiration path a while ago. I love my kids, great stuff. And like I told you, I'm 48 years old. My oldest son is 28, just graduated law school a couple of months ago. My youngest is 23, graduated college a year ago. But these kids were the first digital natives that I really became aware of. And I saw how they flourished with non-traditional practices. And this was around the time when I became a connected educator. So they helped me piece together. And 99% of my presentations right now, I start with the picture of them, and I'll make reference back to them about when I taught my son middle school math. I was my daughter's high school assistant principal, and I'll share those stories. Yeah, when I say it's real, it's real. I live with them. That we talked about what made their learning awesome. So it's relevant. And I want people to understand that I'm not doing this just for a challenge of it. I'm doing this. We're talking about change and doing change because they're your kids. They're our kids. And our kids deserve it. Truly.
That's right.
We all deserve that.
That's right. Well, you know, we all have, Derek, too, those days where it's like, we don't even want to get out of bed. We're so over it. When you're having one of those kind of moments, what do you kind of do to kick your butt in the gear?
Oh, so sometimes we'll talk about two moments. So the moment at school when it's just like emails and, you know, the drudgery that we have to do, I will literally just drop everything, leave my phone, my computer at my desk, and I'll just go in the classroom and just talk to kids. Just literally talk to kids about whatever, and it does not matter. You playing softball this weekend, you know, what games are you playing? Just whatever, just have to. So at school, it's that easy part. It's that easy part. At home, so yeah, 5:30 sometimes, you know, got to get it up or whatnot. I listen to some old school, well, I listen to hip hop, old school, new school. It doesn't matter. I crank up the music and I have a Mini Cooper. I busted one of my speakers listening to some public. It is what it is.
Bring it, bring it. All right, Derek, every week we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
Great, and I love this. So my challenge is for you as the adult, get an accountability partner in your school, somebody who will hold you accountable, that will tell you the truth, and that you can be honest with, and change one teacher-centered practice in your room, in your classroom. Just change one teacher-centered practice and get them to be honest with you about, you made this change, you haven't made this change, this is one thing you need to change. That one thing is going to make a difference for a number of students in your classroom.
I love that. And I think that is a great challenge for all of us, whatever your role is in the school. So, Derek, thank you so much for being a guest this week. I'm so glad you made some time for us, because I love getting to chat with you any chance that we get. So I appreciate you.
No doubt. Thank you, guys. None but love. I'm fans of Todd and Adam, without a doubt.
Thank you.
We also want to thank our viewers for checking out the show. Remember, you can tweet us using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt. We also encourage you to go on to iTunes and leave a review, as we select a winner each week to an autographed book set. Make sure you leave your Twitter handle so we can get a hold of you. See you every Wednesday on our Twitter chats at 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific.